Shall we stand for our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed? Let us share in it together in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was created by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's scripture comes from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 34, and chapter 16 to verse 13. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Our second scripture lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 10, 14 through 17. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and He died for all, so that those who live might live, no longer for themselves, but for Him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know Him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything becomes new. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word.
If you believe there is with Jesus a bright side somewhere, say amen.
Amen.
We praise God for the song, the melody, and the singer of the song.
Yes.
Truly, we have been blessed by Sister Joan.
Yes. Yes.
Who displays that godly talent. Talent that only God can give.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us go to the Lord once again in prayer. Master, speak, for thy servant heareth. I am listening, Lord, now for thee. What hast thou to say to me? Now may the words of this, your servant's mouth, and indeed, the meditations now of each of our hearts now be found to be acceptable, Lord, in your most holy and excellent sight. For you and you only, you are our rock, you are our strength, and you indeed are our bright side. Somewhere. In the name of Jesus, these blessings we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Here again, these words from our Old Testament reading from the book of 1 Samuel, beginning in verse 1 of that 16th chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king from among his sons." And then if you drop down to verse 6 of this 16th chapter, When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Before we get to our text from 1 Samuel on this Father's Day, here's a funny little story I came across recently about a guy who stopped in the grocery store on the way home from work one day to pick up a couple of items for his wife. And the man wandered around aimlessly for a while, searching out the needed groceries on his shopping list. And as often is the case in the grocery store, he kept passing this one particular shopper in every aisle. It was another father trying to shop with a totally uncooperative 3-year-old boy in his cart. First time they passed, the 3-year-old was asking over and over for a candy bar. Our observer shopper couldn't hear the entire conversation. He just heard the father say, now, Billy, this won't take long. And they pass in the next aisle. As they pass in that aisle, the 3-year-old's pleas had increased now several octaves. Now the father was quietly saying, Billy, just calm down. We will be done in a minute. When they again passed near the dairy case, now the child was screaming uncontrollably. The dad, however, was still keeping his cool. In a very low voice, he was saying, Billy, settle down. We're almost out of here. Finally, the father and his son reached the checkout counter just ahead of the observer. He still gave no evidence of losing control. The little boy, however, was now kicking and screaming. But dad was still very calmly saying over and over, Billy, we'll be in the car in just a minute, and then everything will be okay. And now the bystander shopper was impressed beyond words. After paying for his groceries, he hurried to catch up with this amazing example of patience and self-control, just in time to hear him say again, Billy, we're done. is going to be okay. The observer then tapped the patient father on the shoulder and said, "Sir, I couldn't help but watch how you handle little Billy. You were truly amazing." To which the father replied, "Oh, my son's name is Wesley. I'm Billy." Now, I don't know about you, but the moral of the story, at least for me, is to do whatever it takes. If it helps you to exercise patience and self-control under stressful circumstances of life. Amen. And now back to our text from 1 Samuel. Earlier in 1 Samuel, it was written that the people wanted a king. And this was despite the fact that the people lived during a time when wise elders, such as the prophet Samuel, helped to mediate the word of God in giving the Israelites guidance. Regardless of this fact, the Israelites demanded the prophet Samuel to appoint for them a king. So God finally relented and ultimately sent Saul of the tribe of Benjamin to Samuel to give the people what they wanted. And Samuel anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. So our text today picks up at a later point. Saul, who was anointed king, has now fallen into disfavor with God. And God now asked the prophet Samuel to go and anoint a king from among Jesse the Bethlehemite's 8 sons. And what we have heard in our text this morning is what God looks at when God raises up a person into a position of leadership. But before we get to why God was looking, or what God was looking at when God instructed his prophet Samuel to anoint David and not any of the other 7 sons of Jesse, it's important to first understand what God did not like about Saul, the first king, who was now about to be replaced. I won't get into all of the many details leading up to God's decision to finally displace Saul as king, but suffice it to say that God had become displeased with Saul. Because in so many little ways, Saul had not listened to God, but instead did things his own way. For you see, King Saul, even though he had been given authority as king to lead Israel in key moments of decision making, Saul allowed himself to be influenced more by others than by what God would have him to do. And so this is why the prophet Samuel, earlier in this 15th chapter of 1 Samuel in verses 22 and 23, says to King Saul, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is no less a sin than divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. So we now know, based on what precedes our Old Testament text this morning, what God didn't want in a leader. God does not want leaders who put the things of the world and other people's desires and considerations ahead of the Lord's desires and considerations. So this is where our text picks up this morning. King Saul has now fallen into disfavor with the Lord because he has allowed the Israelites to do what God has asked them not to do in an effort to appease the people. And Saul was determined to do things his own way rather than the Lord's way. Saul was stubborn. And so the Lord sent the prophet Samuel, who is now grieving over all of the mistakes that Saul had made, to go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who had 8 sons, and to prepare now to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. Now, in this story, we already know what God doesn't want when he seeks to anoint a person for a position of leadership. The Lord does not look favorably on those who allow others to turn them away from the path that God would set them on. King Saul fell into disfavor with God because he allowed the people to do what God had told them not to do. King Saul had the authority as king to instruct the people to do what was ethical and right in the eyes of the Lord. But King Saul valued his own status in the eyes of the people more than he valued his own status in the eyes of the Lord. And I have seen this time and time again, where folk are more concerned about their loyalties to family, friends, and other people than they are about their loyalties to God. By Jesus himself said, whoever loves father or mother or sister or brother more than me is not what? Worthy of me. So in our text we find that Jesse, the Bethlehemite, had 8 sons. And yet it was clear that the Lord saw in only one of these young men the characteristics of a great leader. Scripture says in verse 5 of chapter 16 that after the prophet Samuel had sanctified Jesse and his sons through the ritual of ceremonial washing and purification, he then invited them to the sacrifice that was part of the ritual process of anointing a new leader. And our text says that when Jesse's first son Eliab came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. And Samuel thought this because he was a tall and handsome man, just as Saul had been, and outwardly appeared to have the kind of physical demeanor and charisma that would cause people to want to follow him. So often we initially perceive people in the same way that everybody else perceives them. We look at them primarily through the lenses of our physical senses. We look at what they have. We look at their material trappings or possessions. We look at how many followers they have on social media or how many likes they may have on Facebook. And we become more caught up in superficial appearances and things than where we are with the condition of that person's heart. And this is where we so often get ourselves in trouble. when Samuel first looked at Eliab in verse 6. He initially thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But then the Lord quickly disabused Samuel of this kind of thinking. And God corrected the prophet Samuel for his faulty perception. Verse 7 of chapter 16 in our text this morning, scripture says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord what? Looks on the heart. Then scripture says, the first seven of Jesse's sons came before the prophet Samuel. And yet God did not see fit to choose any of these first seven young men to become the leader. And then in verse 11 of chapter 16, Samuel says to Jesse, are all of your sons here? And Jesse says to him, there remains yet the youngest, but he is out keeping the sheep. And perhaps the reason why David was not with his brothers at home was because he understood well the responsibilities he had of staying with his flock day and night. So one of the reasons David was not at home with his brothers was because he knew the value of not being MIA, missing in action. He knew the value of honoring his commitment to the care of his flock, both day and night, lest a wolf or a lion or a bear came upon them while he was, what, missing in action. So many of those who desire to be leaders need to learn the value of not being MIA, missing in action, and especially when times are tough and difficult decisions are called for. And likewise, God cannot use a person if that person rarely, if ever, makes him or herself available for service when service is needed. You cannot be a godly leader if you have one foot in the door and the other foot out. In terms of your availability to be in service to the Lord. So in young David, we begin to see a person as God would see them. We begin to see a person from the inside out rather than from the outside in. We begin to see a young man with the kind of character that has the potential for great leadership. We begin to see an individual who has both a degree of commitment and an air of responsibility. And we begin to see a person who has learned to be both independent and accountable for his own decisions, and who doesn't have to define himself by what others think about him instead of how God thinks about him. If the prophet Samuel had chosen a leader as he was about to do by looking only at the outer person and not at the inner person, he would have come up with another Saul. But thank God that God doesn't see mortals as humans see them. But instead, God looks at us on the basis of our inner appearance and the condition of our hearts. So scripture says Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Beloved, whenever we display characteristics of godly leadership and our hearts are right with God, the Lord can do something with us. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon us as well. And perhaps at the end of our journey, we may well hear those words spoken in the parable of talents, where it is written in Matthew's 25th chapter, verse 23. It's written that the master says to his servant, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and now I will set you over much." This is exactly what we saw happen with a young shepherd boy named David. And prayerfully, this is what we should hope would be said about each of us as well. When God looks inside the inner character of our hearts and finds us worthy of being in his service, may God look at you and find you pleasing in his sight and send you forward and onward to be of good service to him in the work of his kingdom. Amen, amen. And thanks be to God for allowing such things to be said.